Hey, Dirk-Jan hier. Je hebt een poosje geleden al naar het eerste gedeelte kunnen luisteren van de Zoom-meeting die ik had met mijn Schotse slagwerkcollega Lindsay Patterson. En omdat het zo'n lang en uitgebreid interview geworden is, heb ik het verdeeld in twee stukken. En het tweede en laatste gedeelte kun je nu gaan beluisteren. Ik wens je veel plezier met het luisteren naar mijn interview met Lindsay Patterson.
De podcast met Joost en Dirk-Jan.
So, and we have like four grades in percussion. A level, B level, C and D level. And when you finished your D level, you're able to go to like conservatory. You can do audition to be part of a music education school. How is this organized in Scotland or in the UK in general?
Well, we have we have quite a few exam boards. We have Trinity College. And we have the Associated Board of Music. That they're the main two that I use. In fact, I mainly use Trinity because Trinity have a classical exam system, and they also have a rock and pop exam system, which seems to be very popular at the moment. We have eight grades, so in fact, we have nine grades now because we have an initial grade. So that's like before grade one. So when you're just beginning, you're just a start, you know, you've just started out, very basic stuff. You can actually now sit an exam to say, oh, I've done my initial things. And then we have grades 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and grade eight. And grade eight's the hardest. After that, they can then do diplomas. But by the time we have people that get to 6 year, which is their final year in school, grade eight's usually about the standard we can get them to, because a lot of them start learning in first year. So if we can do a grade a year or a bit more for the really committed ones, then we're quite happy with that. Our class exam system, our qualifications system, is a bit different. So they don't actually, in first and second year and third year, they don't actually sit music exams now. If they take, they then have the option to take music as a subject. So in fourth year, that would be it's called National 5 music. In fifth year, it's higher music, and sixth year, it's advanced higher music. The criteria for level for National 5 music in fourth year, they only need to be able to play to a grade 3 standard, which is not very high.
And those are general music courses, or are these related to the instrument they're playing?
Well, they're general, but what happens is in the classroom they pick two instruments. So they have to, so a lot of them, it can be, there's different criteria. So a lot of the ones that don't get lessons from the instructors like myself, and they're just going in the class, would probably pick something like keyboard and maybe tuned percussion.
Or maybe just a little bit of guitar.
Or ukuleles one as well.
That's also popular, of course.
So they only need to be grade 3 standard for fourth year to pass that practical element of that. They have to do a listening exam and a composition part of it as well. But for the performance side, it's grade 3. Higher is grade 4, and advanced higher is grade 5. So what we find sometimes at the, you know, pupils that are sitting advanced higher and they think, oh, I'm sitting advanced higher, I want to go on and do music at college. They're not really ready to go into that next step because they've only performed at grade 5 level. And to then get into college or a conservatoire, they need to be at least grade 8. So that's where it doesn't really tie in as well. And that's why if you're coming to a specialist music instructor that travels around the school, that's why we like to do the Trinity things and that as well, because we can then, you know, we can then get them, if they're really interested in taking music to the next level, then we can push and we can give them all the skills that they need for that.
And those books are all running up until grade 8 and grade 9 for all
grade 8.
For all instruments?
For all instruments, yes, we have them for all instruments.
And then grade 9 is like college level, or?
But there's, it's not called, they don't call it grade 9, and there's not anything specific that says grade 9. It goes up to grade 8, and then there is the option to do a diploma. So there's different diploma courses that Trinity do as well, but not a lot of the pupils sit the diploma. I think more of the private school pupils can sit diplomas and stuff, but because of the time constraints with other exams in school, the pupils just don't have the time to dedicate to doing it, you know, to sitting a diploma and learning all the stuff that they need to when they've got other advanced higher stuff that they have to do as well. So it can be quite stressful. So once they get to about grade 8, there's only a handful that would then consider doing a diploma, because by that time they're in 6th year and they're looking to be going to uni or college anyway.
So they're only able to do a diploma at the end of grade 8?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have
as far as I know anyway. I mean, I think because of diploma, that the pieces are, you know, they're really tricky. A lot of Steve Gadd stuff, and you know that the pieces are really quite technical, tricky stuff. That if you've not sat your grade, if I had a pupil that had not sat their grade 8 or was not of a grade 8 level, I don't think I would be saying, well, let's go and do your diploma without doing your grade 8 first.
And like the Rosanna Shuffle from Toto, that's grade 8?
That's in the grade 8. That's in this book.
Yeah, I saw it somewhere like last week on a photo on your Facebook.
That's the grade 8 Trinity Rock and Pop.
Yeah.
That's what
we do like in the last degree as well. If they intend to do like their D diploma, they need to play Rosanna as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah.
As soon as that book came out, all my pupils wanted to play it. Every single one, they were like, oh, we want to play that, we want to do that. And my colleague, who I think Iona, who maybe sent you some pieces.
She had an email like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But she didn't respond as far as I know.
All right, okay. I'll mention it to her because she had arranged Rosanna for our percussion ensemble.
Okay, that's cool.
And it's really, really cool. So we played that at one of our the Scottish Youth Championships and won, because the middle section of it goes between two xylophones. It's like two xylophone solos. So it's really good. So I think she's just in the process of trying to find out if she can get that published, because she's done quite a few pieces for us.
Yeah, I wrote her about it. I think it's almost a month ago, but I didn't get any response so far. But I don't know. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it's in my spam box, but I'm not for sure.
All right.
That's okay.
Yeah, she did Africa as well.
Okay.
By Toto. So cool. We played that, and she's done a few other things our pupils love playing them, and they're tricky. But she's good. She knows what to do. She's actually come through the system as well. She's a former pupil of mine too. So it's good having your former pupils come back, and then
that's great. I work with one of my pupils as well. I'm teaching in the lower classroom, and he's teaching above me.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for all the information about how everything works in Scotland and in the UK concerning the amateur world of brass bands, ensemble, and percussion ensembles. It was nice talking to you. And I'm going to do the best I can to make a great and shorter podcast of it, because we've been talking so much. I don't know what time is it actually.
It's over here. It's 5 to 2.
Okay, so I have to cut it a little bit, but no problem.
No, it's been good. It's been good to hear how things are. I didn't realize that things were so different in other countries.
They are.
From the edge, especially from an education system point of view. I
do have a lot of contact with people in Germany, and because I teach there a couple of times a year, and there it's also completely different. And I have some good friends in Belgium, where the brass band scene is also quite big, and that it's also a completely, not completely, but a little bit different system. And when the people want to make music here, they need, it's not presented on a school most of the times. When, for example, my daughter, who's 16 at the moment, she went to like a high school where they were very active in music because me and my wife liked it. But when you're not aware where you should send your kids to what school, they're not getting even in touch with music. Yeah, maybe 1 hour a week and then listen to some classical music and yeah, just a general music class, but not.
I mean, there are a couple of music schools here, but you have to pay. They're more sort of private schools that specialize in music. So from the state sector that I work in, there's not any that I know of. There's not any specialist music school. We just do what we do and encourage the good ones that want to do music. So
yeah. And the activity here is not organized around the schools. So where the school where I teach is actually a music school. When kids join a band, they can choose. Some bands are teaching their kids themselves, but some bands do have an agreement with the music schools and sending the kids to the music school to get their private lessons. But actually, that's different from town to town. The town where I teach, that's like 15 kilometers from here. That's where I was raised and born. And they have like, with all the bands in the town, they have a good, it's good, well organized, and they work very well together with the music school. And they send all their players to the schools. So we have a quite big school. But there are also some smaller towns who don't have a music school. And every band has to hire their own musicians to learn them brass or learn them clarinet or learn them percussion. So it's quite different, I guess.
Yes, it sounds different. Yeah, it's very interesting though.
And how is it going with the virtual percussion ensemble of my arrangement?
Yes, yeah, it's not bad. Iona is the one that's doing all the magic. We're trying to edit it. A lot of the kids don't have access to vibraphones at home, so because we're back in school, they've done it in school. But there's a bit of like background noise because they've got fans going to keep the ventilation, and some of them have forgotten to take their jackets off, so you can still hear it. And we're struggling to try and get those sounds completely taken out. So. She should be finished soon. So as soon as it's finished, we'll have it posted up. So
okay,
we did actually do Forrest Gump once at the Youth Championships, and instead of using the keyboard string sound, we had a proper string orchestra, a proper small string orchestra.
Wow!
So we'd just sort of taken the parts apart, and divided up. I think we had two violins, viola, and cello.
Wow.
And did it that way. So it was good.
You don't have a recording of that performance.
Sorry, no, we don't have one. I know. I mean, we might do it again in the future once we get back together. And we can.
I like strings a lot.
Yeah. So we have somebody doing the strings part on this recording, but it's just on the keyboard. There's still time. We've done it a few times.
Cool.
Different ways. So
thank you very much.
I like that.
Yeah, and I because I read you wrote a piece yourself for like that was quite special about for pipe drummers and brass band.
Yes.
That was quite special. Is it normally like for pipe drummers to work together with a brass band, or is it like a special occasion when something like
that? Not particularly. It's just because I was a pipe band drummer and I played in the brass band, And I was friends with the guy that was conducting at that time, and he's a good composer and arranger, so he kind of helped me a bit with it and said, why don't you do this? Because it started off as a drum fanfare. And then he was like,
yeah, well, I found a record on YouTube this morning, and right. When I heard it for the first time, I thought it had something like Fanfare for the Common Man.
There's probably bits of everything in it. It's called the Caledonian Fanfare. I think there is a version of it somewhere on YouTube, but there wasn't the recording. What it was actually first written for was for brass and concert. So when I played with Whitburn at the time, that was when we wrote it. I think the one on YouTube is with Kingdom Brass a few years later.
I found that recording. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've not played it for a while. It has been published though.
Yeah, I read about it. Yeah, it's so funny because I wrote a piece for my rudimental snare drum and orchestra, and I played it like a couple of years ago on a concert in Poland. But then for rudimental snare drum and orchestra, and I never played it again since then.
Yeah, I don't think there's been that many copies of mine sold either. I think it's sold a few copies, but I think they just take one look at it and go, oh, no, no.
Because
it does look quite complicated when it's written down.
I can imagine.
Yeah, if I can play it, anybody could play it.
Okay. Thanks for the nice hour.
Yeah, it's been good.
Chatting around.
Yeah, it's been good.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And hopefully we'll stay in touch, and just send me an email if you need something, and I'll try to make a short complication of this conversation and put it online, and I will send you the link for sure.
That would be brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And,
thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Have a good weekend.
Okay, bye-bye, Lindsay.
Thanks, bye.
Hey, dat was dan alweer het laatste gedeelte van mijn interview met Lindsay. Vind je het net als ik ook leuk om dingen te weten te komen over hoe muziekeducatie in andere landen georganiseerd is? Laat het dan eens weten via ons e-mailadres overmuziekles@gmail.com. Dan kan ik eens kijken of ik een interview met bijvoorbeeld een collega uit een ander land kan organiseren. Ik spreek je graag tijdens de volgende podcast. Tot dan! De podcast met Joost en